He comes right after me. Good to see him talking like the way he is talking. Amen. Protocol observed because of time. Baruti Baka, Kamkalena, all the leadership, I salute you. I salute you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The bishops, the doctors, the apostles, prophets, and the evangelists that are here, be greeted in the name of Jesus. Amen. I am tasked to talk to you on the risk. And then I want to start here. Even when Toyota is going through a risk of being stolen, still the buyers of Toyota keep on buying it. You know, meaning that the risk part of this vehicle called Toyota does not stop the sales to go. We don't have the statistical record that says abasai reka kabaka la uri ya utswiwa langwishisha mos ke khopela remeleng ka motho arena. Just a second. Khopela re duleng fa se hape. Already ke feditse ka topic yaka. Lemeleti ka maoto a lena la baladula fase. No one of you calculated if this chair that you are going to sit on is going to take your weight. You just sat down without saying my mass in kilograms. My mass in kilograms multiplied by 9.81, which is gravitational acceleration, which is going to be equals to weight. Will this chair that I'm sitting on take or sustain my risk? You know, if it's a chair divided by four, and then it's gonna carry my weight. But why, when we're supposed to take risk, we spend so much of our time calculating the cost of it? I've actually went and researched, and I realized that there are many, many books on risk management, while we have few books on risk itself. Because people wanted us to know how to do risk management. How do you manage your risk? While they don't want to tell us, how do you risk? Hence, we've got a lot of people who are fearing to risk. For this church to be here, there was an element of risk. Somebody had to risk. If we're defining risk, I'm just going to give you one definition because of time. The writer says, it's the possibility that the occurrence of an event will adversely affect the achievement of the organization or organization's objective. Meaning, it's a possibility of loss or gain. We were taught, maybe give me a picture. We were taught so much on how to fear risking. And there's, hence we refautri, you know, we have been castrated in terms of risk. And then we have a church of full of men who are not participating in business, who are not participating in politics. Why let's say you're going to politics? Because let's have a risk. Let's have a risk. Let me sit down by this. There are four voices that I want you to learn to silence. Four voices that I want you to learn to silence when you read from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Bible says David was visiting his brothers at Swerry's captive. And when he got there, he realized that there is a giant called Goliath. And the Goliath was talking. And the Bible speaks and says, he was sending a taunt, meaning he was threatening them. He was provoking them. And all of them were chetheling murahu. And nobody wanted to take a risk of killing Goliath. Voice number one that I want you to learn to silence is the voice of Goliath. The Bible says about Goliath, he said, come here. Come, send me a man. And you know, Goliath is a guy who is proud of the size. And then the Bible gives us details in terms of the pounds, if you take it to kilograms. Helmet 56 kilograms. Now, most of the time, before we can risk, we take so much of our time focusing on the size of whatever we want to risk on. And I have just come to tell men today, that is one of the voices that you must learn to silence. The voice of Goliath. That voice that tells you that in the marketplace, you won't make it. That voice that tells you that it's big enough, this thing, whether you won't achieve it. Many of you, you have focused on how big this trajectory, or nyakang, and you have forgotten about the results of risky. Now I'm a risk taker, Bazalwane. Now I'm a risk taker. I lived in 4 or 5 provinces with my wife. You know, until we settled wherever we have settled now. Because I kept on taking risk. There are businesses that have started and they fell. But there are businesses that have started that they went up. Because I have learned to silence Goliath. Goliath uses the tactic of the size. And he says, I am big. And the challenge before you, Gihore. Whatever that you are looking up to, don't look at the size, but look at the God. It's an advantage that we know God. You know, we are supposed, actually, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, it says, the world, the creation, is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Because we are still here. We're busy speaker. But if we have taught our men how to go to the marketplace, one man will say, learn to silence that voice. Number two, the Bible talks about, says, as David was coming, the other men, just touch your neighbor and say, other men. Other men said to David, have you seen him? These are the voices that tell you about the report. They report the problems. When you wake up in the morning, there is a news. There's an update that tells you about the numbers of the economy. And all of a sudden, corona. The numbers that were. Now the Bible says this man, they said to David, have you seen him? That is the voice that you must silence, number two. The voice that tells you that, have you seen that others have failed? You are also going to fail. These are the people that report people's failure more than people's successes. And I'm saying, men in the church, learn to silence his voice. Of other men who say to you, you won't make it. Number three, Eliab, the brother of David, the Bible says, he said to David, David, Uyakai, where are you going? Because the brother has got a bedroom or a house advantage. He knows this man called David. And when he talks, we have to understand, Omotsebadi weakness is a high. That's why he attacker already unguyana chela chao chema malwadi shetele man. So that They are family members. That's my point. They are family members. But you have to learn to silence their voice before you take. You must just learn to close your ears. Silence that voice that tells you that don't do this. Don't do this. One of the things that we have with this man here, I nearly said a young man. He's young, man. Before he buys any car, I want to see the property that he's going to pay the car with. He knows. He knows. He knows. No. Let me see equivalent to that. This. There are people in the family, but we must learn to silence their voices. Eliab said, David wa papa, we are guy. They said, Rufa 3 months. Rufa 3 months. That is the voice that men must learn to silence. The last voice that you must silence as David is the voice of Saul. Saul comes in and says to David, David says, no, I can, don't worry. David, you know, he honors Saul and he says, I don't worry, my master. I can conquer that man. I can attack him. I can win. And Saul says, no, you won't. And he speaks. Let me just read this one. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm going to read this one. Verse 33. Saul says, don't be ridiculous. That's a voice that tells you that what you are about to undertake is ridiculous. A voice that tells you that you are too optimistic. Toxic masculinity. And then the Bible says, he says, Saul replied and says, there is no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You are only a boy. Anna. A voice that tells you that your capacity, you are less capacitated than an opponent. And all of a sudden you also settle, you take back. And I want to talk to men today who are saying, irregardless of how big the problem or the challenge I'm going to take, I am learning to take a risk. And I'm going to silence this voice that is called the voice of Saul. And so there is no way you can fight possibly and win. You are only a boy, and being a man of war, this man, he has been a man of war since of our history to say, Sivia, how when David? Atsibi, where David has got two weapons that he says for him, for Saul to allow David. David had to say, no, master, there was a time when I was taking care of my father's sheep. A bear came, a lion came. Therefore, I think even this one, I can still make it. But my point is here. The sizes of the bear and the sizes of this lion are not compared to this man. But you have a testimony that which you can use so that you can risk further. Now you silence Saul by the testimony. I have done something little today. You have sat down there where you have sat. You have never calculated. You took a risk. And by saying that, here I am telling you, man, you can make it. There is an old man with less education. And today he has changed the world. He has changed the cost of the politics in South Africa. Because he had this mindset. A mindset that I have got nothing to lose. Mukhala bona go KZN. We can learn from that old man. He has got a nothing to lose mentality. Today is the third party, largest party in South Africa, which he has started in December. If that man without education can achieve this, what more about us?